continue because I didn't see you check in from your office. And that you, every day around 10 a.m., you know, it's coffee break time, you like to go to your local Starbucks, get yourself with, you know, a cappuccino or something. And boy, let's hope you logged out of your VPN when you left, because I'm going to sneak in and see whatever I want from your corporate network. Or about, what if I just want something stealed from your laptop, be it corporate or personal? Well, thanks for sharing habits, I know. Let me check into Open Air Bread every Saturday afternoon. That your code repository for your personal project gets updated before you check in at home. You obviously must be using their network connection. What happens if I sit in that Panera and poison that Wi-Fi connection? Or if I just take your laptop when you're, you know, say, refilling or emptying it? A few other scenarios of, you know, why do you and that attractive coworker of yours go to dinner at the same fancy restaurant every Tuesday after work? Doesn't your spouse have yoga that night? Why are you in your coffee shop nowhere near your house every Friday night? Isn't that a little close to a local AA meeting? But wait, there's more. Stalking, obviously. I'm kind of an expert in that, I guess. Okay, someone might not be stalking you because I'm boring. I'll admit it. But what about my friends? Can I establish a pattern of behavior? Can my attacker establish a pattern of behavior from the stuff that I post about my friends? Or surveillance in general. I mean, people love routines. Why did you break yours? So let's talk about geotags. Now, EFF talked about a bunch of threats to locational privacy. Transit, swipe cards, electronic tolling devices, easy pass passes, whatever. Traffic cameras, mobile telephones, because I know no one here uses mobile telephones. Electronic swipe cards from doors, and then services telling you where your friends are. Like Foursquare, and there was a couple of other ones that before Foursquare that said, oh, your friends are nearby because they checked in, but it wasn't actually as much the public. However, they did miss one, and it's called geotags. Geotags are small bits of text of data, and that text stands for executable image file format, that encodes latitude, longitude, altitude, and relative direction of where that photo is taken. A lot of phones have this turned on by default. Why? Someone thought it was a good idea at some point. Already a bad idea as for if you're taking photos for later publication, but what happens when you're instantly publishing them? So around February or so, Adam Savage from MythBusters decided to take a photo journal of his day. And she started posting some photos of, hey, Harry, I'm getting breakfast. Here's the coffee I'm having. I got a coffee cup. And he then posted, now it's off to work, my beast. Wait, how'd that dog get in here? And he included a photo of Twinpic. So one of my friends, Larry Hackson Matrix, who every week goes to does a podcast called Bald Up Tom Curry Weekly. I highly recommend that you listen to it. He did some work with EXIF data before with his Sans Gold paper, and he really likes EXIF. So he took the photo, downloaded it, and ran it through EXIF tool. Sorry, you had latitude and longitude on the photo there. Oops. And so we decided to take that latitude and longitude and run it through Google Maps. So there's the map, and that's where he took that picture, and Google decided to geocode us and told us exactly where he lived. And if you, sorry, I forgot to tell you, pay very special attention to that photo of that house in the background, because it is a very unique house. And if you look at Google Street View, and turn to the left, there's that house. So we're obviously right around where he took that picture, so look what's behind him. Yep, that's a house there, and he said he parked in front of his house. Well, that's a nice house, Adam. Thank you, Verbal, for taking that picture to us, because he walked in San Francisco and decided to go up front of Adam's house. And Adam, you really need to trim some lawn. We did verify that this is his house, and if you actually go through public records, you can verify that. I'm sure Steve Rampan will talk all about that in his presentation. So after this, Johannes Roller to the Sands Institute. We don't know if it was coincidentally or if he's paying attention to Larry, decided to follow this up with some more research on the Internet Storm Center blog. He wrote a script that brute forced TwitPic URLs and analyzed over 15,000 images from TwitPic. Over 10,000 had exit tags on it. Now, exit tags doesn't just has all kinds of data on it. What was the flash fire for this? What was the shutter speed? Photo stuff that I have no idea what the heck it's meaning. But over 10,000 had exit tags. Over 52 5,297 had camera information. This photo was taken with such and such a camera. 389 had GPS tags, about 2.5% of the total sample. Because I had to calculate that out because I wasn't a math major. This may have been an incorrect calculation for the amount of photos that had excess tags because this script had a bug in it that I found. It only was looking for certain image URLs. And the QuickPic services site used two different types of URLs, and it was only looking for one. Incidentally, we had no idea about this until about last week. There was Gerald Friedland and Robin Summer from the International Computer Science Institute of California was also doing work on this, and they just released a paper called Cyber Casing the Joint on the Privacy Implications of Geotagging. Now, I think anything with the word cyber in it is just a stupid term, but I will adopt this because they came up with a term for it. Their executive summary clearly explains it anyway. While users typically realize that sharing locations has some implications for their privacy, we provide evidence that many are unaware of the full scope of the threat they face when doing so, and often do not realize when they publish such information. So we actually came to the same conclusion that they did, where people are doing this, they don't know that they're doing this, and they probably want to know that they are, so we decided to try something out with public awareness. Let's try to inform the people that what information people are really posting by taking a picture of their lunch every morning, or every afternoon. The initial outreach service thought it was a good idea to use Twitter because that's where we saw all these people posting these photos in the first place. And there were enough bots out there, we figured if you say ponies, if you say zombies, if you say happy birthday to someone, if you say oh snap, along with many, many more, you get a nice little ad reply saying, hey, so-and-so said this. And it's very interesting if you actually work with botnets and you talk about zombies a lot, you constantly get flagged by the zombie bot saying, oh, zombies are near Boston, Massachusetts. In my case, no, they're not. So we came up with our own bot called I Can Stop You, because I can. And we started trawling Twitter search results for TwitPics, run it through, you know, see what the geotags are, pop it into Google Maps, and send them an app message to Lincoln and say, hey, someone is somewhere nearby at this location. Initial outreach efforts were promising. We had people, you know, freaked out. We had people who had no idea how the heck we found out when they were talking about it. And we had some guy who asked us if we wanted to join for a beer. He was at a hotel bar. He said, hey, you're right here. And he said, yes, I am. Then he wasn't in Nantucket, but we probably would have joined him because we like beer. One that I couldn't find out, and we had a guy who replied to us, and I guess he deleted the tweet. And he basically, like, completely freaked out, saying, how are you? How do you know this? And I pictured this guy just like hiding under his desk that he has somebody knowing where he is and the name is I Can Stop. So I set this up around 4:30 one day. End of the day, I didn't have much on my back. But the word comes out, I just fired off the script, set it up as a daemon, and it just started firing off. Hey, I'm going to commute for 2 hours. Let's see what happens over those past 2 hours. I get home. That's funny. It's up, the script is running, but I'm not getting updates on my phone anymore. That's weird. So, log into the account. That wasn't good. So, I guess we tripped off. I guess there is a spam bot, automatic spam filter, where if you add a lot of people and you have a new account on Twitter, they suspend you. Whoops. Yeah, we have a drawing board on that one. So, we came up with icanstopyou.com, which is, we were originally going to do this, but heck, Twitter was already there. We could write the script in like 5 minutes because now a Twitter client is like the hello world of computer programs. So we decided to go back for drawing board for a week, coded up this website, set it all up, which is, instead of adding people, it just has this website of, hey, this person's at this location. So I have it up here, but I didn't. I'm not typing the demo guides. So this is what just before my talk started, around 11:55, and here are all the people that we see. The NRA blog apparently is somewhere near Oakton, Virginia. I wouldn't stalk these people if I were you. I'm just saying it out there, you know. I'm all pro. Anyone can have guns if they want, but I'm just staying away from them. Just random people. You know, Dog Milk, that's an interesting name. Zip Cars, currently near 66 O'Farrell Street, San Francisco, California. Another interesting one that we found was a Sci-Fi channel. Apparently, a lot of people like to use their iPhones to take photos and post it up on the company Twitter account. You can see where their two locations are for their offices in LA and New York if you read through one of our scripts, which I'll talk about later. Just random people, so I picked one at random because he was the unlucky one. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. He posted a photo, and he's currently near 1318 Market Street, San Francisco, California. And if you load that into Google Maps, oh well. If we load it into Google Maps, let's try to reload it and see if it understands. Yep. It's actually the Google geocoding and the service that we use, which is GeoNames. They kind of are different as to where exactly they think they are. But this is the more or less the exact location of where his GPS tag is. And here's the photo we took. A photo of bacon gumballs, which I guess is a good idea if you want to take, if you like bacon gumballs, take a photo of them, post it up on Twitter. A lot of people like to post photos of their meals. I don't understand. So from here, like I said, I can map the location, I can view the tweet, and I would have done that if I wasn't on the net, wide open network. And I can actually reply to that. If you're logged into Twitter and you click reply to that person, you can then it'll send them a nice little message saying, hey, I see you're right here, I can stop you. This was basically, we set this up to get around with it, rather than have to bot at people, we decided to, you know, crowdsource it. That over to and have other people do it. Basically, it's just me and my friends who find this highly amusing when people get freaked out. So, eventually, about a month later, Twitter relented. After pleading our case and having Twitter review our suspension, they were nice to us and said, okay, just don't do that. Alright. Thank you, Twitter. For a while, we just posted every hour or so, we decided, hey, you know, we still looked at that many links, we saw this many photos, we had X amount of errors, and we found an X tag information. Just something that we can do to make sure that the bot is still running. Then, about 2 weeks ago, we decided, let's throw caution into the wind, let's start adding people again at a rate of 1 per hour. Let's look at it this way. You can look at the bot at twitter.com/iconsoft. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything about getting resubmitted. So, how it works. A Perl script that we run searches Twitter for URLs. There's TwitPic, it supports TwitPic, it supports RyProd, it supports movie pictures, and my cohorts decided to say, hey, look at this photo called, let's look at this photo service called Sexy Peek. TwitPic, RyProd, and movie pictures don't allow nudity. So some enterprising individual said, hey, let's go make a photo service where you can post nudity. That's a bag, go for it. So they were someone who, he's obviously not married. He went through and decided to code it for us and say, hey, here's a code that'll work for this. And he actually just about a month ago, and we haven't actually included it yet, there's another photo service because you need two of these apparently for the same service called Twit Sexy. Same problem, neither of them scrubbed exit data. So you can find out if someone posts a photo of themselves. If they have geotags enabled on it, you can then say, hey, I know exactly where they are. Also, once the picture URLs are found, they fed it to a Google app. And the Google app engine we use is because they have slightly cheaper bandwidth than my personal server, because we were quite literally, we'll go over that in a second, it takes a lot of bandwidth to run this. The Google app then downloads a photo and reads for exit data. The GPS tags are found, it's reverse geocoded via the GeoName service, posted to the website, and if it's time to post some statistics, about an hour after the application runs, every hour after we post some statistics, we drop the docs in the latest user stock. It's completely at random, it freaks people out, but that's what we're going for. GPS tag, if we don't find any GPS tag, we're sad, and then we just move on to the next photo. From the website, you can view the photo, map the location, and then view the original screen. Website users can also tell the person they know where they are. Yeah, if you feel like it. You should. So, the trawler averages around 15 gigabytes of downloads per day. On average, about 35,000 tweets scanned, about 20,000 pictures downloaded. We're only looking for JPEGs, so people post a bitmap or a GIF or one of the other one of the other types of photos that QuickPic My Frog supports or are not interested in. We're only doing a very small portion of the photos uploaded to QuickPic. Initially, we decided, on Johannes' script, we decided brute force URLs. We could average about 5 to 10 downloads per second. We couldn't keep up with the amount of photos being loaded. We'd run it for about an hour, and we'd already be about 15 minutes behind of real time. So some privacy fail. This is a very nice day out with a killer. He's chasing ducks. He's chasing geese. Although he knows that they bite. I found that out. So this is great. Pay attention to the gazebo on the left there. This is where the photo was taken. If you look at the left, there's gazebo. And if we do some, just look around and do some wiggling, we can find out where exactly the photo was, what direction the photo was taken. Celebrities are not immune. We found out that Weird Al Yankovic posts photos with geotags, like he decided to say, "Hey, Fox and Friends, Fox should sue these people." Well, apparently did that from his house. when we were Googling this address to see if this was actually his house, this is posted on more than a few websites, so it's public information. He didn't feel like we were really posting out something out there that people should know that Weird Al was at this address. So, let's see how far we can take this. And I was going through one of the original portions of the script, decided to save all the pictures that we downloaded. And we were just saving it and we're looking through. I was looking through one day and I had lunch, dinner, kid, baby, iPad. Whoa! I'm not going to tell you what I saw, but see what the cat saw. Unfortunately for Mr. X, he has his geotags enabled. That's a very nice location right there. Whoops. Look at that. Public records have that indicates that it's currently owned by a William and a Jeanette. I wonder if that's William. So let's go find out. After we found William, we decided to start looking at this William person. And we couldn't find a Facebook for that name, no Twitter for that name. Google searches came up empty. Well, where do we go from here? Pipple. Pipple was a great website. And we decided to start searching for a name. And we found it. It's on the bottom here. You obviously can't tell. We've censored everything. Because quite frankly, I really don't feel like dropping dogs on this guy. It's a random guy. It's very unfortunate that he had geotags named on his phone. So, I actually just found out about this website from this link. It's actually called Spokio. It's a very nice website. It says, you know, William here. He lives here with Brian and Jeanette. Why? Well, maybe it's Brian. It's okay. William B. Maybe you can invite him. Whoops! There's his Facebook account. And it's important to realize that this guy posting these pictures of himself, there was no URL, there was no name, there was absolutely, this was a thoroughly anonymized account, as anonymous as you can get on Twitter. There was no links directly to him. So just from geotags, we were able to find his Facebook. And from his Facebook, I did find kind of guilty because he did say that he liked being a dad. Oops. I'm not repeating that. Okay. So we found his Facebook. So jackpot. For his Facebook. On Facebook, we were able to find a birthday, his marriage status. Didn't list a spouse. However, you can do the math. His friends and two usernames. So username number one gives us his Tumblr, his Flickr, and his GPS.com account. Now, what is a GPS.com account, do you ask? Yeah, so apparently people thought it was a good idea to load up GPS tracks of their day or wherever, and he decided to post two, one of which was called Going Home, and that was the latest one. It was from a couple years ago, and that looks awfully familiar. Yep, that looks awfully familiar. So we're pretty sure that this is the guy. Googling username number two gives us his Twitter account, which was linked to another TwitPic account. Now, at this point, when I was actually looking for the original photos, because I wanted to see if we could match up the exit tags, to see if he was using the same phone, We went to his original anonymized account. It was deleted. However, his TwitPic account for that account was still there. So TwitPic does not delete the photos after you delete your Twitter account. I was unaware of that. So we took two of the photos. We compared the X50 and X50 make and model were a match. It was a BlackBerry 9000. Interesting. He deleted their Twitter account. TwitPic still kept the pictures. We also found his wife's Twitter account. Right. And so this was around the time that we discovered this, and we were looking through his other Twitter account. He posted, "And I'm an idiot, and I'm sorry." All right. Let's see. Posting dirty pictures of himself online, then deleting that account and apologizing on his other Twitter account. Let's go check out his wife's account. Yep, it appears that this is the person because his wife's account decided to add the anonymous account saying, you know, so-and-so has more secrets than I can ever guess. I guess that's why he thinks I'm always hiding stuff and something. Because he's hiding stuff. Oops. So, as always, your mileage may vary. This is an extreme example. God, whoever you believe in, decided, you know, you saw Shuang, so I want to give you a nice little easy example for your presentation. I don't think many of you are posting images like that online. Some of you may. That's your bag. I'm not judging you. However, this is a good example of how many semi-anonymous accounts are there on Twitter. You know, you have a first name. You don't have a website. It's, you know, following by 5 people. It's following about 10. It's a random person. You don't know their real name. You don't know their website. However, they have geotags in it. If you want to know who that person is, you can probably find out. But they're all able to be tracked in the same manner. So when we started adding people about 2 weeks ago, we noticed that we had a slight majority of people were saying, geez, I did not know that I was posting this online. And the minority of people, they were evenly split between A, who the hell are you and how do you know this? And B, I know what a geotag is. I evaluated the risk and can't get much information from my feed because I self-censor myself. We completely support people doing this. The entire purpose of the website was just so people can make an informed decision. Hey, this is what we can find out from this. If you are okay, if you are comfortable with this, go for it. But we had suspicions that this was a lot worse than they thought. We could probably get a lot more information than they thought they were sharing. So we decided to run an experiment. We heard about 4 people who were saying this to us, and we decided to plot their movements or geotag pics on a Google map. And turns out we were right. So it's very nice. It's actually a very pretty script that we've been releasing. Testing a few years, we found the small bits of geotag information were pieces to a puzzle, meaningless in and of themselves, but they make a very nice, bigger picture. When you plotted it over time, if you saw a lot of over a very long period of time, a lot of geotag photos off a centralized location, it's pictures indoors, probably their house. Smaller clusters of an office, probably their workplace or a client. Smaller cluster of photos inside over a very small, repeated times over a very small period of time, might be a friend's house. Hey, you know, I'm going over to bubble your drinks, you're going to have a scotch. Good thing. Also, other haunts. So we took 4 random users that were saying this to us. User A gets your hair cut at a certain regular spot and you like to take photos of it. User B attends his monthly local government meeting because he takes a photo of the minutes. User C has a cabin. We were able to see all these clusters of photos over a period of a week in the middle of nowhere, away from everything else. It must be a vacation spot. User D has a specific route. He bikes to work. He actually accidentally lost his bike chain one day. Took a photo of it. He also likes to go to the bars on Thursday night, and he enjoys burgers. We posted a weblog entry up on mechaniclabs.com, and I'm going to give a link later in the photo. This was in a response to a podcaster, not included in this experiment, who was concerned that he wasn't concerned that he was posting this information. He called spammers, he called us horrible, mean, nasty, ugly things, and we were in it for the money, apparently. Apparently, these 2 other guys got a government grant. I wish I knew. But always keep, you know, we can all sit here and say, ugh, this is stupid, but always keep in mind there are two sides to every discussion. You can feel you're right, but the other side feels the same exact way. And he was making the conscious decision that this was okay. Dude, go for it. So tools and data. This is what we've done. We've scraped a website. We've run a couple of small analysis on a couple users. How about you? Why keep our data and tools bottled up on the server? That's boring. Why not open it up for everyone to poke at? So we're going to release two things. Data and tools. Continues latitude. We have a data set that contains latitude and longitude of over 65,000 photos posted to QuickPic, Bifrost, Moose Picture, and SexyPeak. I probably got 90% of them are QuickPic, just so you guys know. So don't go searching for movies. If that's your thing. We scanned over 2.5 million URLs to get these photos. Stays in line with about that 3% Johannes came up with. Some days we see about 3.5, other days we see 2.5, but usually hovers right around 3%. We're not sure what you people can do with this, but I am sure that you young, enterprising people will find something. We're also releasing two tools, Reaper and Stalker, both written in Perls, Python root developers. Some libraries required. All these are going to be available on hemiclabs.com as of tonight. So I'm not logging into the website from this network. So, the first tool is called Reaper. It takes a URL from a photo service, extracts exif tags, and looks for geotags. The photo service supports QuickPic, Bifrost, Moby Picture, SexyPeak, and Flickr. Kind of. If you have one of those Twitter enabled, FLIC.KR URLs, it understands it. It can look at them. We just added that last week. We haven't actually looked at full URLs yet. Alternatively, what you can do is you can also dump all the exif tags. So it doesn't, by default, it doesn't have geotags. It just says, I can't find any geotags on it. But you can also look for make the model of cameras. If you really want to see how many photos have had the flash turned on them for some reason, you can do that as well. So stock.pl takes an entire user's photo stream and extracts geotags from each photo. Currently only supports QuickPic and Bifrost. It can output the location either to a console or to a KML file for Google Earth. No new information because I'm not tempting fate here. And this is, as you can tell, this is straight up. Actually, I found a bug in stock, in stock.pl, and I'm going to fix that short sooner than tonight. So, if you use stock.pl, you need to add to the top of use LWP signal. My Twitter account will make sure that everyone does what that is. So, we're going to use the photo that we saw earlier from XPTA. So here it is. It's the latitude, longitude, location, the make is an Apple, and the model is an iPhone 3GS. I haven't got an iPhone for you. So what we're also going to do is, I don't think this is that impressive, because I think this is the only geotagged photo, but we're going to run stock.pl on, username, XPTA, service, Y-Prom. End page means I'm only going to look at one page of photos because we've seen people with like 20 pages of photo. It takes an hour for this script to run. So as you can tell, I'm not grabbing each photo it sees, and the first one is the one that we just started. All right, tell you what, we'll go let this run, we'll come back to it later. So, solutions. Everyone comes up here and says, everything you knew was wrong, now screwed. And then you ask them, well, how do we fix this? Well, I don't know. So we're actually going to provide a couple of 50,000 foot solutions for you. We saw there were three places to eliminate the issue: users, operating systems, and services. users, it's what we're doing now. We're trying to inform users saying, hey, this is bad, look at what we can get from this. If you want to learn how to disable it, go check it out here, yada, yada, yada. This is having a positive effect, but it's an uphill battle. The amount of, 1.6 million iPhones sold on the first day, probably good about 90% of them have it enabled on them because, you know, I want to take a photo of my iPad that I just bought as well. Oh, do I want location service enabled for this camera? Yeah, accept, whatever. Hey, photo. And what we actually, I was unaware of this. So if you had an original iPhone and it said, would you like location services enabled for camera? You say yes. If you keep on upgrading your iPhone to a 3G, to a 3GS, to a 4, it keeps that setting with it. So even if you didn't have a GPS built into your original iPhone, you said location services, you know, I'm located within a couple of blocks from a cell tower. That's fine. If you didn't realize that had changed between your when you started getting a GPS, it's still enabled. You're now posting a lot more accurate information. Services. Scrub your exit data. Flickr does a pretty good job of this. There's two settings on your account saying, would you like to scrub exit tags?
Yes.
Or would you like exit tag publicly viewable? No. Would you like to have your GPS data publicly viewable? No. Great. However, every time I submit a photo to Flickr, Flickr can then see exactly where I am. When Flickr has that photo, they can do whatever they want. Right on the upload process, they can say, hey, look for geotags, that year's in the X position, we can then send them whatever we want. We now know that. Operating systems. This is the best. They can geotagging opt-in, which technically it is now. However, with a lot of phones, it says, would you like to enable geotagging for this? Yes. Okay, that's it. That is now your default setting. Would you like to enable geotagging for this? No. Okay. Next time you take a photo, would you like to enable geotagging? No. It just keeps on asking you to turn it off permanently unless you start going in settings, which actually is disabled on. So subscribe on iconstalking.com. The two researchers from Berkeley came up with an excellent idea, and they actually created a mock-up in their report saying, would you like to enable geotagging for this photo? Yes. How accurate would you like it to be? And they said, latitude and longitude within a block, within a mile, within the same state, and then it will randomize the positioning. This was a really good idea. I guess this is why they got a government grant for that one little mock-up. So, in closing, be careful what you share. You kind of realize that. Think about how it can be used. When I started looking at it, and really started thinking about it, when I took photos that aren't geotagged, I'm fine with that information possibly coming from me. However, what about those people that I'm taking a photo of, or photos that are in the background? What am I taking a photo of? Am I taking a photo of a MakerBot at a friend's house, which we saw a photo of when it was geotagged. So, I don't know where that MakerBot is sitting in that. We could have that. Make sure geotagging is off on your phone, naturally. And don't use GPS.com unless you want to be stalked. I don't see why people would want to use it. Someone suggested to me that if you're like a biker or a runner and you want to have running paths uploaded to your friends, that would be a good use for it, just to make sure it doesn't lead to your house. Shoutouts. Larry, Hacks of the Matrix. Did a lot of groundwork. Did a lot of stuff with exit tags for his SANS Gold, I think it was GCIH paper. And he answered a lot of my stupid exit questions. Every week, Paul.com Security Weekly, he's on there with a group of other very smart individuals. It's a lot of fun to listen to. Paul.com.com. Savant Ponies and the rest of the Hennick Labs, especially verbal for being incredibly good looking. He wanted me to say this, I don't know, ladies, he's on the market. Verbal was the nice one that actually went out to Adam's house and took a photo of him. So I guess we'll have questions on this. Well, actually, before we do questions, let's go see the script's done right. Boston 2600. I don't go there anymore, sorry. I moved out of the area. So anyway, this person has two photos. He's near 1318 Market Street, San Francisco, and San Felipe, United States. When GeoNames doesn't get a street address, we then go to a place name, which we haven't really found out how they've made this place name possible. Like, we'll get, like, you know, this random town name, United States, and if we Google it, it'll say, oh yeah, it's in New Jersey. But it's vague, but it works. However, we probably wrote that last two months, we would Google tell us exactly where it is. Let's go do that, because we've still got plenty of time. Hollister, California. And I'd also show you the photo, but I've had bad experiences with that, as you've seen, so I'm not going to post that up there with the public. So, be careful, please, so I can see who I'm talking to. I'll gladly take questions.
That takes your photos in the photo library and geotags and maps them out on an international map.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I was traveling internationally and I had my iPhone with me, but I had airplane mode turned on because I couldn't buy a package in the country. So, there is absolutely no signal going on my phone. But when I got back, I noticed that all my pictures were geotagged and mapped. And I was wondering if you know how to do that.
Well, probably because they don't turn the GPS on. GPS is for Steve only, and I don't know, is this an iPhone 4 or an iPhone 3? See, I thought iPhone 3 was only assisted GPS, where it depends on cell phone towers. But I could be wrong. And our previous research suggested that if you have airplane mode on, it doesn't geotag photos. So I guess we can research it either. If you go to iConSoftView, there's a way of going in it, how it's a link right on the top. Hang on, that signal. Okay, so I guess we're on fire right now. Mehemetlabs.com, that's where everything is. Code 65 dataset.